Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 2 Corinthians chapter 28, verses 8 through 15. The Reverend Dr. Stephen Hokana is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The appointed reading for this day is recorded in 2 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins on your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Certain chiefs also of the men of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johanan, Berechiah, the son of Meshulamoth, Jehiazikiah, the son of Shallum, and Amasa, the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war, and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives here, for you propose to bring us upon guilt of the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who had been mentioned by name rose and took the captives. And with the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is an amazing and curious passage we have in Holy Scripture. It's really about total war. It's a term we don't hear very often. Where one nation, and we've seen this in our history, like the Union Army of the North, devastated the Army of the South and broke the back of the Confederate economy. Sherman's march to the sea is classic total war. And boy, did he burn and destroy a wide swath. So the concept is not far from us and our nation's history, as what Israel did to Judah. But this is not what this text is about. I can punctuate the air, I suppose, about a victorious nation's responsibility after a war ends, how much care should be given to a former enemy. Think of the Marshall Plan of post-World War II. The goals of the United States were to rebuild war-torn regions, to improve trade barriers, to modernize industry, improve European prosperity, and prevent the spread of communism. Although noble, 2 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles is not about that. Oh, it'd be really exciting to wax on about the Augustinian theory of just war and its attempt to rein in evil. And most times, that doesn't work. There is, of course, a Geneva Convention. America signed it, and our enemies do not. Geneva Convention tends to highlight murder, mayhem, and destruction poured out on civilians and those that are helpless. The Geneva Convention is a powerful tool for prosecution, but terrible at prevention. Perhaps it is safe to talk about total war this morning, the Marshall Plan, just war, and maybe the Geneva Convention. All those topics can nest into 2 Chronicles 28. There are a bit of arm's length, and I think those are safe topics to talk about. Everybody don't offend. These topics might even bore you into thinking about maybe something else this morning. If you keep 2 Chronicles in the realm of armchair diplomacy, we are deaf to what the Holy Spirit is saying. The topic at hand is written for you, the child of God, redeemed under Christ. The unfolding of 2 Chronicles stands as a reminder of our need of daily repentance and living a life of sanctification. This passage of 2 Chronicles is not intended to point a finger of accusation against those who do not know Jesus. Rather, it exposes a heart broken by sin. A child of God redeemed under Christ that always and continually needs to abide in their baptism. That's what 2 Chronicles 28 is about. This short passage lays out the defeat of the southern kingdom of Judah by the northern kingdom Israel, whose capital is Samaria. Oh, the ugly detail and the cruelty. In short order, the events unfold where there is an intervention of a massacre. It has to stop. It needs to stop. The scale of national annihilation is indeed stopped by an obscure prophet. Our text moves to a short dialogue where godly leaders step up, whose names we do not remember. The incident of 2 Chronicles closes by sending civilian detainees and prisoners back on their way, fed and clothed. This is relevant today. The first point of this text is that of sin. Consider how bad behavior is justified. Come on, it's just a little sin. How about the Almighty is to blame? God is duplicitous in my sin. And have you ever heard, so maybe what happened is not sin at all? It's not a big deal. My favorite one over the years of pastoral care is when someone will say, it's just a big misunderstanding. That's what convicted felons often tell me as they begin a long prison sentence for assaulting another human being. Now back to 2 Chronicles. The Lord indeed gave Samaria, the northern kingdom, permission to wreak havoc on Jerusalem and Judah. That's true, the kingdom of the south. The Samarians, people of the northern kingdom, may be thinking, it's just a dark thought rather than a transgression. Let's haul these people off into slavery and captivity. Or perhaps they should be accused of overinterpretation of God's decree. Over-enthusiasm, the voice of God speaks to Obed and says this, behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hands. This is true. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you've taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. Oh no, this is about sin. It's about making ourselves the graven image. It has to do with a need for power and absolute dominance and control. Truthfully, this kind of darkness we all possess. It lives in our heart, and if not controlled, if not disciplined, if not by the intervention of the Holy Spirit through Jesus on the cross, we would be lost. The event described in our text has to do with a full-blown, raging, unquenchable callousness, an inferno of anger that burns in one's heart, and in this case, a population, a nation. The tinder is sinfulness. The fuel poured over it is a gasoline of personal self-righteousness. Consider what's going on in this passage. Look at the numbers. 200,000. Consider the captives. They're not foreigners, not strangers. They're not a brutish legion, kind of like the Lord of the Rings orcs or thug soldiers. They are relatives, your own family, women, sons, and daughters. Their clothes are shredded rags, those who had clothes. Many were naked, no doubt dehydrated, starving, and sunburned. It would not surprise me that there were many who simply fell beside the road and died. It is not uncommon when a defeated group is forced marched over many miles. So it is bad that the Lord sends a prophet to explain to the leadership in charge of the death and mayhem. You can picture Oded standing in the middle of the road telling them to cease their barbaric military operation. But a prophet of the Lord was there whose name was Oded, and he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, behold, Because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, you gave them into your hand. But you killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Look how their anger blinded them. Let that be a lesson. The brutality, the zeal of annihilating their own family members. Patricide, fratricide, God's chosen people pouring out their self-righteous anger against God's chosen people. As we reflect on this, let me add a passage from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now these things happened to them as examples, but they were written down for our instruction, to whom the end of the ages has come. We have to learn from this. And we learn quickly about sin, how it can take hold of us hurriedly, being tied to the Word of God, as an attender of worship, reflecting on your baptism, prayer, and practice self-discipline. But most importantly of all, we are baptized children of God who need to look to the cross and know that our sins are forgiven in Christ. How quickly a group of people belonging to God can slide into the arms of Satan. In the book of Proverbs, we read, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Thus, a turn points us to Christ, who Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish and guard you against the evil one." 2 Chronicles says it's also about redemption and hope. And that's always the prophetic twist in God's word. It answers the question we have to ask. Who is it who stands in the road of human destruction? Who is it that stops and halts its own obliteration and eternal death? It is Jesus. Initially, we see a prophet, Odin. In this case, the people of Israel subjugated by the army of Judah. This prophet points to Christ. Some see a hint of the Good Samaritan in this passage. This is seen by way of the captives escorted back to Jericho after being clothed and fed, anointed, and some of them are put on donkeys. But there's much more. This is about proclaiming God's word of promise and courage by pointing to the need of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Through Odin, which means in Hebrew, restoring, he points us to Christ, who reestablishes all humanity by his sacrifice on the cross. We ask this in Jesus' name, the Restorer, who gives us new life. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.